Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You know, when we were in Turkey just about a month and a half ago, part of our survey trip was to kind of go and to see, you know, furniture and things like that. Things for my wife to see what she could do to set up a house. You know, I was kind of interested, but that's not my thing. That's her thing. So we found out they happen to have an IKEA in Istanbul, Turkey. Now, I have never been to IKEA in my entire life. And my wife's like, oh, you'll love it. You've got to go. And I'm like, okay. It was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. It was really cool. They had everything set up and organized by the rooms. Well, this is really cool. And so my wife told me this. She's like, you know, you got to put all this stuff together. And I'm like, I got to put it all together. You know how putting things together goes to me. It always is like this. We'll buy something. Now, maybe it's because we buy the cheap Walmart stuff or Kmart. But we'll buy a bookshelf, we'll buy a, you know, a dresser, and I'll have to be putting it together. I'll be following the directions. I actually try to follow the instructions. But I'll get to a certain point, and I'll begin trying to put this thing together, and something's not working. Something's not right, some piece is not fitting, and I'm getting frustrated. And I'm about to the point of just getting, you know, some nails and just hammering it thing in and fixing it that way. My wife realizes I'm getting frustrated, and she says, Brady, she said, why don't you just calm down? You know, go sit in the living room, go sit away, you know. Clear your head for a second and come back. And I said, okay. By the time I come back, it's put together. And I'm like, what happened? And she's like, well, you know, you missed this direction here. You weren't following the instructions here. And you know, it's true. If you don't follow the instructions directly, exactly how they're supposed to be in those things, many times you're going to end up with a messed up product or something that's not put together properly. But tonight in 2 Timothy 4, we've got some instruction that Paul is going to give Timothy. Some vital instructions. Paul's at the end of his life, and he's giving Timothy really his last instructions to his son in the faith. He's trying to give Timothy some things to do. And as you read 2 Timothy 3 and 4, you start reading this and you start reading it. It sounds like Paul just wrote this yesterday because of what Paul is saying is going to happen and things that are going to go on. And you think, wow, he just wrote this the other day. And he's trying to give some instructions to Timothy about what to do in an upside down world. And that's what we're looking at tonight, is what to do in a world that's upside down, because our world is upside down. The day that Timothy lived, the world was upside down. And Paul gives some basic instructions here. We'll begin reading in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Here's Paul writing. Really, you know, we don't know how much longer there is until Paul passes away, but this is his last writing here. And he's trying to encourage Timothy. And as you're reading through here, you know, verse 2 really is focusing on pastoral duties of Timothy, what he needs to do. And you get to verses 3, 4, and 5. And really, 5 is some things we need to look at. Verses 3 and 4, though, as you're reading those, and as I read those as a kid, it was really interesting to see that these people, they would heap to their own lust having teachers, having itching ears. Now, growing up, I was confused about what that meant. I was thinking, teachers having itching ears. I'm thinking, okay, so someone's up here preaching and they're scratching their ears the whole time. I'm like, I don't understand. You know, but as I grew up and came to understand, it actually wasn't even talking about the teachers. It's talking about the crowd, the people that are there. They have the itching ears and they're getting teachers that are telling them what they want to hear. These guys that are preaching these, oh, you're a great person, you're a great individual, let's not preach on sin, let's not preach on doctrine, let's just tell everybody they're great and no one's going to hell. That's what he's talking about here. The sad reality, verses 3, verses 4, church after church today is doing the same thing. They're turning away from the truth. They're turning away from doctrine. They're getting away from the Word of God. Instead of having preaching, instead of having someone stand up and proclaim the truth, they're having pep talks. And hey, you're great. Go out there and do great things. And yet the Word of God is filled with truth. And we're in a world that's upside down. So what are we to do? What is Timothy to do? What are we to do as Christians? We'll look at verse 5. 4 things that Paul says. Before we do that, I'd like to pray this evening. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts, or that you would work in hearts tonight. First, if someone is not saved tonight, they would trust Christ before it's too late. And secondly, Lord, that you would speak to us as Christians, that you would quicken us, that we'd realize there are many things we need to do in a world that's upside down, that you're still on the move and you're still working. Praise Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So verse number 5, the first thing that Paul tells Timothy what to do in an upside-down world is, number 1, watch thou in all things. Watch. To be watching. You know, when I hear that word watch, I think of when I was a young person. I was at my grandma's house. My cousins were there, my brother and myself. We'd always spend the night during the summers. We'd have a lot of things. We'd do things that, you know, necessarily weren't things we got in trouble for, but probably things we're supposed to do. Maybe we get some fireworks or try to set a fire or things like that. Things my grandparents wouldn't be too happy with us doing. But we always tried to get somebody to be the watch. And I never learned. I always picked my brother and my cousins to do this. And they were terrible at watching because they would be sitting there and they get bored or they get hungry or they get thirsty. And instead of telling us, hey, I'm going inside, they just wander off. And we'd be sitting there, we'd be messing around. All of a sudden, we'd hear my grandpa come up behind and say, what are you boys doing? Nothing, you know, and we get caught because they were terrible at watching. Well, you know, as Christians, we've got to watch. What do we got to watch for? You know, many times Christians, they become terrible at watching. We've been lured to sleep by Satan. We've got to watch because we have an enemy. His name is Satan. Satan is walking around like a roaring lion, trying to see who he can devour, see who he can destroy. And we've got to watch. We've got to watch first to make sure there's no false doctrine coming into the church, because Satan is going to try to come in. He's going to try to destroy churches, and he is destroying churches. He's sneaking things in, and people aren't realizing it. And all of a sudden, what used to be a great church all of a sudden is now not even preaching the Bible. They're preaching heresy, things like that. And you wonder how that happened, because the people in the church weren't watching. They weren't alert. They weren't on guard. Their guard was down. You know, we've got to watch because Satan wants to come in here and he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your home. And the sad reality is, you know, growing up, divorce was hardly talked about in the church. It was there, but it wasn't very prevalent. But today it's very prevalent. And it's sad to see because Satan is coming in and he's trying to destroy families. He's trying to destroy marriages. And if you're not watching your marriage, if you're not watching yourself, then Satan can sneak in there. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're divorced and your family's tore apart. We've got to watch for our families too, because Satan is trying to come in and he's trying to destroy our families. He's trying to get young people away from church. He's trying to get young people out of church and to rebel and get away. And as parents, you should be watching for your children. We've got to watch. We have an adversary. Satan is a strong adversary. He is trying to destroy us as Christians. He's just trying to destroy us. Because his mindset is this, if I can't take them to hell with me, then I'll try to keep them from serving God. I'll try to keep them from seeing other people saved. I'll just try to keep them sitting on the sideline and not paying attention. We've got to watch. We've got to watch. We also got to watch for one another. We're told to watch for one another. And to be watching because, you know, maybe you've got someone in here who's newly saved. And they don't know everything. They don't know the wiles of the devil. They don't know how Satan tries to attack. And maybe Satan's trying to sneak in their life and get them out of church. But, you know, you're an older Christian. You understand what Satan's doing. And you could come to them in love and say, hey, you know, let me help you with some things. You know, when I think of that as Satan being a roaring lion, I think of, you know, growing up in school, we used to every now and then they'd put on these nature films. Normally it was near the end of the year when the teacher was tired of teaching. And they're like, hey, this will keep the kids busy for an hour. And it was always the same one. It always had all the different animals, but there's always the scene where there was the lion and the wildebeest or the zebras or something like that. And 99% of the time, when you watch the video, you know, these videos, the lions always got the prey. And they went after what? The old and the weak. They went after the old, the weak, or the young. They were trying to attack something that wasn't strong enough. But you know, every now and then, every once in a while, everybody got away safe. You say, well, how did that happen? Because the herd was watching out for one another. They were alert, and they saw the lions before they came in, and they alerted, and all of a sudden they took off, and nobody was hurt that day. You know what? As a church, we got to be watching for each other. We got to be watching out and praying for one another, because Satan is trying to destroy each and every one of us, and he wants to. And that's sad to say, when it happens to someone in your church, it's heartbreaking to see when Satan destroys somebody. But if we're alert, if we're watching, we can catch Satan before he sneaks into that person's life. We can catch him before he sneaks into our church. We can catch him before he sneaks into our home. We've got to watch and be careful because we have an adversary. Our enemy is Satan. And he has many tricks up his sleeve he tries to do, and he tries to trick us, and he tries to hurt us. But if we're watching, you know what helps us watch is by getting in the Word of God. You begin reading the Word of God. You begin understanding what God's Word is. You begin to understand the tricks of Satan. And you know how he's going to try to sneak in. You know how he's going to try to get into your life or into other people's lives, and you can watch better. But we've got to watch in all things. The second thing we see here is endure afflictions. Endure. And I think of that word endure. I think I was a youth pastor for about 2.5 years in Arkansas. And You know, I did some crazy things as a youth pastor. Typically, that happens as a youth pastor. And one of these times, we were shooting these skit videos, and it was all about me getting thrown out of this boat many times. And I was fishing. I was a terrible fisherman. I'd get thrown out of the boat, which was fine when we're in shallow water because I could just get right back in. Well, my buddies, now, they were about my size, so we got three big guys in this boat that probably shouldn't have been in this boat. Like, it was way too much weight in that boat. We decided to go the other side of this lake where it's really deep. And they weren't thinking, you know, oh, we're going to throw them out. How are we going to get them back in? Well, they throw me out, and we're thinking, how are we going to get back in? Well, we're probably about half a mile to a mile away from shore. There's no way I'm swimming that. I was already exhausted from the day. They're like, well, here. They had this rope that was tied around something. They said, here, grab this. But my hands were so tired, I could barely hang on to that thing. So they're like, okay, you grab onto the side of the boat. I'm enduring. I am holding on. And my mind said, if I let go, I'm gone because I'm too tired. I could maybe kick for a little bit, but I'm too tired. And finally, we get over to where I can stand up, and I'm so thankful. And then they look at me and say, oh, yeah, we had a life jacket this whole time. And I'm like, you're joking, right? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you had a life jacket. You had something that would have been a lot easier for me to have on. And worst case scenario, I could have floated a lot longer. But I had to endure. If I had let go, I wouldn't be here today. It would be a bad day, you know? If I hadn't endured, I had to held on. Paul's telling Timothy to hang on, to hold on, endure afflictions. Guess what he's saying here? He's not just talking about persecution. Yes, persecution was prevalent in that day. But, you know, he was telling Timothy, look, endure hardships, endure trials, because they're coming. Tests, temptations, they're going to come into your life. And Timothy, you've got to endure. You've got to go through them. And Timothy was about to go through a real hardship because he was about to lose his father in the faith. He was about to lose Paul. And Paul was telling Timothy, just endure. Just hold on. Just get through these afflictions, and God will work in your life. And you know what? As Christians, we've got to endure afflictions. You know, when we get saved, it's not just everything's perfect. It's not like it's going to be easy. There's still tests. There's still trials. You know, I'm currently reading through the book of Job. And man, you talk about a guy who had a bad couple days. I mean, it was just everything was taken away from him in one day. You know, the Bible says in all that, he sat down and he worshiped God. I think of myself. I think if all that happened to me, would I be able to still worship God? You know, would I be able to endure? But you know, maybe we won't ever have anything as extreme as Job. But we've got to endure because we are going to have tests and trials. And maybe tonight you're in the midst of a test or in the midst of a hardship. Maybe it's a hardship for, you know, maybe there's financial hardship in your family or in your life. Maybe there's physical hardship. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but we've got to endure these afflictions. We've got to endure these things. Because you know what happens as we endure them? They help us grow. It helps grow our faith. Helps, makes us stronger, and gets us, you know, to the next area where God will continue to work and continue to build in our lives. The sad reality is so often as Christians, instead of enduring, we let go. We stop. We don't continue on. We get upset because life is hard or we're going through a difficulty and I don't know what God is doing. I just want to tell you this. Maybe you don't know what God is doing, but just trust Him. Yeah. Endure and keep looking to Him and trust Him and cling to Him. You know, if there was really a man who really knew how to endure afflictions, the man who wrote this book, Paul, I mean, he went through so much. Reading 2 Corinthians, all the things he went through, from beatings to the man was stoned. I love that part where he was stoned. They drag him outside the city. He gets stoned. And all of a sudden, they think he's dead. He gets up, and then he just walks back in, starts serving God. Like, he didn't stop. He was shipwrecked a couple times. He was robbed. All kinds of things happened to Paul. But he says this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this is talking about a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. But Paul went to God three times and said, God, can you take this away? God, can you take this out of my life? And finally, God came to him and said, Paul, it's there to help you trust me more. It's there to help you grow more and grow stronger and to trust me more. And Paul said, okay, I'll glory in my infirmities. When I have trials, when I have tests, I will glory in them. Love what David says in Psalms 119, verse 71. He said this, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And I don't know about you, but how many in here would say, ooh, I'm glad when I get afflicted. It's a good thing that I got afflicted. It's good that I went through that hardship or that difficulty. Many of us will never say that. But David said that. Why did he say that? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. David said, you know, all the things that happened in my life, all the trials, all the tests, it pushed me to God's word. It pushed me to trust God more. You know, as Christians, although we may not enjoy them, we should learn to endure afflictions and cling to God and see, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to get out of my life? How are you trying to grow me and endure? Don't give up. Again, I love Paul's attitude about difficulties and trials. Here he is in Philippians, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he's in jail. And he says, you know, don't worry about me. The Philippians were really upset. They're worried about Paul. He was in jail. He said, don't worry about me. All this that's happened has happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He said, you know, me being in jail is God helping get the gospel forward. You know, how would our mindset change about our afflictions when that happened in our life? Would say, you know what, I'm going to look and see, how can I get the gospel forward in this motion, or in this difficulty, or in this trial, or in this test? Christian, what to do in the world that's upside down? We've got to endure afflictions, and they're going to come. Maybe right now you're in the midst of, great, things are going great. Just know this, trials will come, tests will come. And when they do, just remember to endure those things, to cling to God. We can't run to ourselves, but we can run to God. Third thing I see here, he says this, he says, watch on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Now, some of you are thinking, now, what is the work of an evangelist? Now, the modern-day term evangelist, we think of this guy who travels around the United States. Normally, they'll have a travel trailer. They travel around. They go to church. They preach, and that's what they do. And you're thinking, so you're telling me I've got to sell all my stuff and get a travel trailer and travel the United States? No. In the Bible, when it talks about the word evangelist, it's someone who shares the gospel, who brings the good news. And really, that is what an evangelist is a man who preaches the gospel, who preaches God's word. And Paul is saying here, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Take the gospel to people. Share the gospel to a lost and dying world. And you know, if there's one thing I would say that we got to hold on to the most in a world that's upside down, is we've got to do the work of an evangelist. Many Christians, many churches, many people all around the world, they've got away from taking the gospel to their friends, their family members, their communities. But you know, it's our responsibility as Christians to go take the gospel to a lost and dying world. There's over 7 billion people in this world. A majority of them are lost and on their way to hell. What are we going to do about that? Are you being a light? Are you sharing the gospel with your friends, your family, your coworkers? It starts with your circle of influence. Everyone in this room has people that they come in contact on a daily basis. Do they know you're a Christian? Have you shared the gospel with them? Have you ever invited them to church? Have you ever told them about Jesus Christ? But it goes further than that. You know, maybe God has worked in your heart, and maybe he wants you to become a missionary someday. That's what we're doing. We're going to go do the work of an evangelist in Turkey, but I've got to do it along the way as well. But our desire is to go and take the gospel to the people of Turkey. Maybe there's many young people here this morning or this evening. And you know, when I was 13, God called me to be a missionary. Maybe God could work in your heart and life and say, you know what? I want some young person to surrender to be a pastor, surrender to be a missionary, or take the gospel all around the world. But it starts here at home. But it could eventually lead to taking you to the world. There's a need all around the world for people to go and preach the gospel. Every country needs people. Yes, there's missionaries in many countries, but every country can need more people to go and take. But you know, it starts right here at home. When's the last time you shared the gospel with a friend? When's the last time you told your coworkers about Jesus? You know, many people say, you know, that America needs, you know, new reform or a new form of government or all of these things. You hear all these things, and this will fix all our problems. But you know, that'll never fix any of our problems. You know why we're in the mess we're in? Because this world is filled with sinners. The United States is filled with sinners. And guess what sinners do? They sin. We shouldn't be shocked when sinners sin, because that's their nature. You know what'll fix the United States? It'll fix the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians going out and sharing the gospel and telling people about Jesus Christ, because then they get saved and their lives are changed. They get in church and all of a sudden, instead of sinning, now they're living for God, and now they're telling others about Jesus. And we can see the world change if people would get on fire and share the gospel with their friends, with their family, with their coworkers. But sad reality is, so often as Christians, we've slacked off on doing the work of evangelist. We think that's just the pastor's job. That's just the missionary's job. No, that's every Christian's responsibility. We're commanded 5 times. It's told 5 times. The Great Commission is given 5 times, 5 different places. We're told to go. That's a command, not a suggestion. And it's not just for your pastor. It's not just for me. It's for every individual in this room that's saved. For every person that is a Christian. Well, maybe you're not a Christian. You could get saved tonight. Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins. He rose again the 3rd day. You can put your faith and trust in him. You know what? I just shared the gospel in about 5 seconds. We could do that too. It's not hard to tell people about Jesus. And guess what? Those of you that I see lots of kids in here, I love kids. We grew up working with kids. But you know what? You can tell people about Jesus too. You can tell your friends. You can tell those people you play with. You can give them a track if you're scared to say anything. You can do the work of an evangelist as well. But you know what? The sad reality is, as adults, we get too busy. I don't think we ever mean to do it on purpose. But our life is so busy that we see people and they pass us by. And they pass us by. And we never mention once about Jesus. We never share the gospel with them once. want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his leading and direction and saying, hey, invite that person to church. Hey, tell those people about Jesus Christ. And it'd be amazing to see how God would work in your life as you share the gospel with people. We see there, do the work of an evangelist. And lastly, we see here, make foolproof of thy ministry. What does that mean? Paul's basically telling Timothy, don't quit. Finish strong. Don't you dare quit, Timothy. You finish all the way. You keep going all the way. As Christians, it's really easy for us to quit. The easy thing to do is quit. And it's sad to see so many Christians that are quitting near the end because they're getting upset, they're getting frustrated, they're seeing nothing happen in their life, or they're in the midst of a trial, and instead of trusting God and clinging to God and enduring those afflictions, they just quit. Paul said to Timothy, don't quit. If there's one man who didn't quit, it was Paul. I would love to have been that day when Paul was executed, because I am sure the whole way, as long as he was conscious, he was preaching the gospel, he was singing songs, he was telling people about Jesus Christ all the way to his death. There's a man who didn't quit. I love that it says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. May that be our testimony. I want that to be my testimony. When it comes to the very end, when if I have the opportunity, you know, and you're laying, and I'm laying there and I'm about to pass, I don't want to look back and say, man, I regret not serving God more. I regret not doing this. But you know what the sad reality is? As many Christians, at the end of their life, they look back and say, I wish I had done more for God. I wish I had told more people about Jesus. I wish I had given more of my time to serve him. Because in the end, that's all that matters is serving Jesus Christ. You can't take anything with you. You can't take your car. You can't take your house. You can't take anything with you. But those people you share the gospel with, maybe we serve God and don't quit. I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, you know what? I gave my all. I finished my course. I have kept the faith, and I have fought a good fight. I want to be like Paul and have that. But you know, very few Christians ever have that because they held back or they quit before they get to. And talking about quitting, I remember as I wrap up here, a few years ago I decided to do a Couch to 5K, and I started to do a 5K. But instead of doing a 5K, I decided I would do a 4-mile run. I know, I'm smart, right? And I'm a big guy anyway, so all the things running up to it, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to do this, but I was like, you know what, I signed up, I paid for this thing, I'm going to do it. And then that was not fun, because I decided to do it, it was like August, so in Georgia, so like 100 degrees out, it was at night, but it was still about 100 degrees, and I was sitting there, and I'm running, and I'd be running, and all of a sudden, you know, I'd be passing by, and I'd see like, you know, there's police officers set up, and I'm like, man, I should just stop and ask for his phone, because I had left my phone to my wife, and I'll just call my wife, and I'll just quit, you know, I'll quit. I kept saying, you know what, you spent all this time working towards this. Why quit? And I just kept going. And sometimes I wasn't running or jogging. I was just walking. But my mindset was, I'm not going to quit. I spent all this time training and working on it. And guess what? I finished. I didn't finish anywhere near in the top at all. I was near the bottom. But you know what? I can look back and say, you know what? I finished that race. I finished it. I didn't quit. You know, maybe we as Christians never quit. And at the end of our life, we look back and be like Paul and say, you know what? I have finished my course. I fought a good fight. You know, we're in a world that's upside down, and, you know, many people would say today, they would tell Christians, you know, just sit back and relax. You know, Jesus is coming soon. Don't go out and step out in faith and do anything great for God. Just enjoy the ride. But, you know, that's not what Paul would say. Paul was telling Timothy in a time where many people may say, well, Paul's about to die. I don't know if we can go forward. Paul was telling Timothy, no, you keep going forward. You keep pressing forward. You keep serving me. You keep sharing the gospel. You keep enduring those afflictions. Today, we're in a world that's upside down. We need some Christians that are willing to watch in all things. To keep an eye out, because Satan will get into your life and will try to destroy you if you're not watching. We need some Christians that are going to endure afflictions, because look, trials and tests are going to come. We've got to hold on to and endure during those times. Third thing, we've got to do the work of an evangelist. That is one of the most vital things I believe Paul was saying here. To share the gospel with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers. If you're not doing it, you can start. If you're afraid to say anything, you're like, I don't know what to say, get with your pastor. He'd love to tell you how to share the gospel with your friends. And it starts with maybe just having a track and handing a track to somebody. And then you begin working more and more about sharing the gospel. You've got to do the work of an evangelist. And last, don't quit. I don't know where you're at this evening. Maybe you're in the midst of the trial. Maybe you're thinking about just quitting. And maybe you've been in a ministry. Or maybe you're praying about someone. It can be as simple as, I was praying for someone to get saved. They've been praying for years and they're still not saved. I'm just about to give up praying for them. Don't. Maybe you've been witnessing to a friend or family member for years and they haven't accepted Christ. Don't quit that. Maybe you've been serving in a ministry and you haven't seen much fruit, or you've been struggling, or it's been difficult, and you're about to just say, you know what, I'm just going to call it quits. Don't quit. Trust God. Finish strong. And see God do something great. We can see God do great things in our lives and our hearts But so often we quit, we give up before we get to see what God has for us. So what do you want to do in these last days? You want to keep serving God? Keep pressing forward? You need to sit back and miss out on what God has for your life. Just remember, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make foolproof of thy ministry. Don't quit. Let's pray.